From the Embassy of France in the United States, this is Frank Files, a podcast where we explore the unique relationship between France and the U.S. My name is Andrea, and I will be your host. Joining me today is Diane von Furstenberg, a woman in charge. A direct quote from Diane and a true testament to the success she's had as a fashion designer, entrepreneur, and a strong female icon and executive of this century. In February 2020, Diane was awarded with France's highest honor, the Légion d'honneur, given for her life's work in enabling women's fashion to become boundless by encouraging self-expression and freedom through her designs, like her iconic wrap dress. Her commitment to these ideals fueled her support in the major development and philanthropy behind the Statue of Liberty Museum built on Liberty Island, which was inaugurated in May 2019. As we at the Embassy of France in Washington, D.C., prepare for the arrival of one of the 8 Bartholdi Statue of Liberty originals from Paris, we are excited to talk to Diane about the revival of this historic journey, but more profoundly, what Lady Liberty in all of her shapes and sizes means to all of us. Diane, it's such an honor to have you among us Francophiles today. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Of course.
As you know, I have been, in the last few years, I've been very involved with Lady Liberty. And so I am very happy to be here today and to talk about her while she's on her way to D.C.
Yes. I was going to say, I assume that, you know, most people know about you and your achievements in fashion, but I'm not sure they'd know, you know, all of them know about your role and your special connection with the Statue of Liberty. So I guess I wanted to ask you, you know, you've been honored with the title Godmother of the Statue of Liberty. And I wanted you to tell us of how did you embark on this journey?
So Statue of Liberty, Ellis Island, is a foundation. And for years, they wanted me to come on the board of the foundation. And I was really not particularly interested. And I never really sat down and thought about the Statue of Liberty too much. And so I kept on saying no. But the man who was president, who was very, very, very persistent, read my book, my memoir. And in my memoir, I talk about my mother. And my mother had been a survivor of the war. She was in Auschwitz when she was 22. And I was born soon after she survived and came back. And she used to tell me, God saved me so that I can give you life. By giving you life, you gave me my life back. You are my torch of freedom. And so this man who is trying to convince me to come on the board of the Statue of Liberty underlined that in my book and said, you must, and of course, by then he had convinced me. He also gave me a few books that I started to read, and that's when I got completely involved in the Statue of Liberty. The fact that it was the people of France who had decided to make this present to the people of America, because they were so much in awe of what had happened in America, the making of this Constitution, the abolishment of slavery, and especially the intellectuals, they really, really were in awe of that. And they wanted to make a gift to America. And it turned out to be this statue. So after I became on the board, the thing was we need to raise money to make a museum and on the island. And I am not really good at raising money at all, nor have I done it very much. But somehow I looked at them and I say, oh, that's what you want from me. All right, I don't want a big title. They wanted to give me a big title. I said, I tell you the title I would like. I would like to be a temporary godmother of Lady Liberty. And they said, sure, of course, why not? And that's what happened. And then I got involved, and I did raise $100 million for the museum. And by now, I am completely, totally her godmother. She's my godmother. And I go and salute her very often. And so, voila.
Yeah, that's wonderful. No, it really became such a strong a symbol of maybe of identity for you as well. And thank you for sharing about your mother and that special connection, especially when you talk about the torch of freedom. I have seen you comment about, you know, kind of that parallel between her, Lady Liberty's torch of freedom and what your mother quoted. And, you know, I have to say, I had the chance to view the HBO documentary, The Liberty Mother of Exiles. And, you know, you were featured as a voice of support for the Liberty Museum. And something that I wanted to share with you that I really appreciated was that all the people that were interviewed were involved in some way towards the preservation of the monument. And every single one of them, or almost every single one of them, spoke of their own story of immigration or those of the generations before them. And I have to say, for myself, as a first-generation immigrant to the United States, it really captured the essence of Lady Liberty. And so, you know, I work at the French Embassy. We are at the studio in the French Embassy. And La Marianne, you know, we know is a very powerful symbol for France. And I can't help but to think about how Lady Liberty also is similar in the way that it represents so many symbols like freedom, democracy, equality, friendship between France and the U.S. So I ask you, what symbol would you choose that speaks the most to you?
For me, she is, first of all, she's a woman, although for the inauguration, there were no women involved. There were no women invited, you know, but it doesn't matter. She's still a woman. That arm and that torch means yes, yes to life, yes to new continent, yes to hope, yes to future, yes to everything. Yes, she chose life. And that is really what she represents to me. The chains are broken. She looks into the future, and millions and millions and millions of people who have come to this country to look for another future, to look for a better future, they meant so much to her. So for me, she is obviously strength, freedom, and total, total yes to life.
Yes, yes, she is. And I do share your thoughts about, you know, how she was created in a time in a man's world, yet she was chosen, a woman was chosen to lead the people, just like La Marianne, around the same time. It is truly an interesting observation. So what about the Statue of Liberty Museum? You know, why is it important? Why is it here? It's bringing a new interest in the monument or maybe in what she signifies. Why is it important now to have that museum open to the public?
Well, when she was restored in 1986, there was a small museum under, you know, inside her, under her. And that after 9/11, obviously, she's a big target. And so people had to wait in line, and there was a lot of securities just to go into it. So that's when they decided to do a separate museum on the island. And what I mean, I didn't know the story of Lady Liberty. I did not know that Gustave Eiffel had done all the structure, the inside structure. I didn't know any story about La Bouée and about Bartholdi. Do you know, for example, that it all happened at a dinner? La Bouée, who was a great, great intellectual who really respected America so much, created a club, the Franco-American Club, or either club or association. And they had a dinner in Versailles with a lot of intellectuals, where they praised America and so on. And it's at that time that they decided to make a present to the people, from the people. And when they decided to do that, there was their present, Bartholdi. And Bartholdi was a sculptor who made these big sculptures for public spaces. Because, you know, when cities developed so much in France, there was a need for greenery. And therefore, they wanted to create these gardens, these public spaces. And in these public spaces, they usually put statues. So this man, Bartholdi, it was his dream to build the biggest statue in the world. And originally, she was planned to be a lighthouse in the Suez Canal. And that didn't go through. And so on that night, he was present and he said, I have an idea. We are going to build. And that's when he talked about the woman and so on. That's how it started.
Incredible. Yes. The whole journey actually is from her conception to creation to voyage is really just something amazing to follow. And I was lucky enough to actually visit the museum myself. And I absolutely enjoyed it. I felt, you know, I really felt enlightened. And that's really the purpose of Lady Liberty, right?
I took Mrs. Macron, Madame Macron, I took her there. We had a very nice sighting.
Mm-hmm.
She was very moved.
Oh, of course. I mean, it is very moving. Even the architectural piece of it brings in so much light and space for reflection. Space for reflection that one can do in the same room where the original torch is displayed. And, you know, there's something about that day when I went that something clicked for me. I saw a beautiful bronze mold of her face. And then I realized that, of course, in 1886, when people saw the Statue of Liberty, she was bronze. She was a copper, beautiful color and, you know, not the blue-green patina that we see today. So I am excited to see when at the embassy we will receive the Liberty, our own Liberty in July, and kind of, you know, make that comparison. So, Diane, I have made two parallels of your life's achievements and Lady Liberty, and I'm interested in hearing your opinions about them. So my first question is, Lady Liberty, she wears this elegant draping robe that falls to her feet, where you can see just above the chains that she's broken away from. And I can't help but to think of the similarity with the designs you've created, like the iconic wrap dress, with the intention to free women of those constraints. So with your eye and experience for fashion, what can you take away from this observation? And I guess a follow-up question to that too is, does the Statue of Liberty ever cross your mind as a source of inspiration for your designs?
Well, and you know, in DVF, it's always the woman first. So it's always the woman that I find inspiring. And for the woman's beauty, you have three things that are important: the eye contact, the smile, and the body language. And Lady Liberty's body language is extraordinary because it's a body language of strength and going ahead. You know, she's going, her feet, one foot is up, so she is going ahead. And of course, she has this great posture.
Yes. When you see her either from afar or close up, she is a source of inspiration. So then my second question is, you know, beyond fashion, you do a lot to support women. You do so much, actually. And I have noticed from reading and research, you really do take pleasure in guiding women to seek their potential. You know, you have this fearless leadership that is appreciated by many. And you've also been busy this year doing just that. You launched your In Charge with DVF podcast, in which you invite guests like Anita Hill and Charlize Theron to talk about their own fearless leadership. And you've also released a colorful manifesto of words to live by titled Own It, The Secret to Life. So I want to give you a scenario. Let's imagine that Lady Liberty were to come to life. What word from your manifesto would you choose to teach her or to guide her with? What would you choose in just thinking about Lady Liberty?
Well, I don't know that I would teach her. I think she would teach me.
Yeah, I agree.
But I would just tell her, go for it and enjoy the ride, which is what she's been doing.
Yes.
For how many years now? 136 years?
135, yes, yes.
135. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and she is walking. She's not still. She's action. She's all about action. And she is a woman in charge. And as you know, if you've read the book, to be in charge is not an aggressive statement, but it's a commitment to ourselves to own who we are and go for it. And she certainly owns who she is. And she has allowed the dream for every immigrant to own who they are and have a better life.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, I do want to share as well that that we forget that her original name was Liberty Enlightening the World, correct?
It still is, actually.
It is, right. And you know, I have your book with me right now, Own It, The Secret to Life. And I do want to read.
I love the way you called it. I love that you called it the Colorful Manifesto. I think that is so lovely. I will use that. I will quote you.
Thank you. Thank you. It is really what it resembles. So I did want to read the word enlightenment and what is the definition that has been given to this word. Enlightenment is the action of bringing light, individualism, freedom, and openness. It is a path to truth. So I think this is the word I would choose for Lady Liberty and what she resembles as well. And this is all in your book, Diane.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sure. Of course. And I guess finally, you know, I also want to know, like, what do you think about, I mean, you've seen a lot of different renditions, replicas of Lady Liberty across the world in the U.S. What is it that you think about us? You know, at the embassy, we are receiving one of the 8 originals.
Yes, I know. It's a really nice one. I saw that at the Museum Art des Métiers.
Mm-hmm,
and actually, I even went to the warehouse where they were. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very nice that you're going to have it at the embassy and completely, totally relevant. Where will you put it?
We will actually have it in the front gardens at the Résidence.
Very nice.
And yes, and I hope that you can join us one day in Washington, D.C.
I for sure I will, and I will come and say hello.
Yes, yes, she'll be inaugurated on July 14th, so Bastille Day.
On the Bastille Day, yeah.
Exactly. So I know that's going to be a hit for our neighbors and our Francophiles. And Francophiles, you are listening, you can also join us. And you can follow her journey, which we are doing currently as well, on franceintheus.org/vive la liberté. So with that, are you ready, Diane?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I'm going to count to three.
Okay.
1, 2, 3.
Vive la liberté! Vive la liberté.
Vive la liberté, that's right.
Well, we can never say that enough, for sure.
Exactly. Thank you, Diane. And now, Francophiles, a surprise guest for our season finale.
Bonjour, Francophiles. This is Philippe Etienne, the ambassador of France to the United States, joining you from the embassy in Washington, D.C. On the occasion of the season 2 finale of the Francophiles podcast, I wish to say thank you for listening to this collection of testimonies that emulate our diplomatic mission to curate and to celebrate transatlantic creativity and innovation. Operations like Liberty 2021, discussed by Diane and Andrea, recall our founding values of freedom and hospitality that inspire the modern Franco-American friendship and propel it towards the future. The first Lady Liberty was not given by the French government to the American government, but by the French people to the American people. And this statue will arrive in the same manner, thanks to historians, artists, and engineers, civil society, cultural institutions, and companies from both countries. As Bartholdi said, The statue's part is not to appear extraordinary in itself, but to connect itself intimately with an extraordinary whole. When we began discussions on this project in 2019, we had no idea what a shining light this statue would be after a year of pandemic and uncertainty. I am so glad that we get to tell this chapter of our Franco-American story now, when our two nations see the light at the end of the tunnel. Thank you to Andrea. Thank you to the podcast team. And thank you, Francophiles, for listening. Until next season, à bientôt.
As always, thank you for listening to Francophiles. If you've enjoyed this episode, subscribe and review us, and make sure to drop us a comment about what makes you a Francophile. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at FrancophilesPod, and visit our website for more information. To indulge in more stories about French-American culture, check out our partner France Amérique magazine. Stay tuned, Francophiles, and until next time, à bientôt!